Well, let me start off by saying thank you for coming to church tonight. I'll tell you what, you could have been anywhere else on this fine weekend. You know, one thing about the Santa Ana winds that I appreciate, I don't know about any other Southern Californian, but the one thing I do appreciate about the Santa Ana winds is that, generally speaking, there isn't very much smog. So you can see the mountains. You know, sometimes it's fun to see the mountains that we live oh so close to, because, you know, in the summertime, they don't exist. They're somewhere over in the haze and in the dark. So, you know, but on this wonderful, wonderful, clear and crisp and great weather weekend, you know, you guys could have been anywhere, and you could have been out celebrating, out barbecuing, watching the playoffs or doing whatever it is, but you guys chose to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And I'll tell you what, you are going to get something out of it. I am just absolutely positive of that tonight. Now, let me say this. It is a rather intimate crowd, and that's okay. That's good. And my dad taught me this, and I believe it. He says that if I overcome objections before I give objections, there won't be any. So let me just say this. Yes, I talk fast. I do. Okay, I've heard it before. Yes, I didn't drink a monster drink. I didn't, you know, drink a rock star before I got up here. I talk fast. But here's, let me give you some statistics or some information. The average person can think 300 words a minute, while the average person talks about 100 words a minute. So let's say if I go fast, maybe I go 150, 175 words a minute. That's still more than enough for you to be able to process it and understand what's going on. So if we get down and we buckle in and we just, you know, hunker down and we get into the Word of God tonight and we go fast and we go hard, but that's okay. Because you know what? I'll tell you what. God will speak to me. He can speak to you. And if he could use me, then he can use you as well out in your places of influence. And so I'm just absolutely thrilled about the word of the Lord tonight. You know what's great about tonight is that this message, Pastor Jim, how many of you guys were here this morning for Sunday morning? Oh, awesome. Praise God. I'll tell you what, this message this morning was just amazing. It was just talking about, Pastor Jim talked about seeing Jesus. And it was confirmation for me as far as what I wanted to talk about. Because, you know, like I had shared, getting into a communion service a couple weeks ago, that's when the Lord really started to set this on my heart. And then I started to develop it and think about it. And then when Pastor Jim announced that I was going to do Sunday night last Wednesday, I said, man, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to talk about. And, you know, the Lord just said, that's it. And then when I heard the message, it was just like, wow, we're almost on the same page as far as the things that we're talking about. And it's just so great when the Lord confirms things by hearing one message. And I didn't even know what he was talking about. He doesn't even know what I'm talking about tonight. And yet they're different. But at the same time, the meat and the bones and the basis of them together work together. And I think that's just awesome when the word of the Lord comes together. So I was excited when I heard the word. I was like, whoa, this is great. So I had to change a couple of my verses so that way I didn't, you know, use the same verses as he did this morning. But that's okay. So, you know, there's more than one or two verses in the Bible. So, you know, it's just great. But, you know, tonight, what I want to talk about is I want to bring this up before we get into it, because it kind of explains the title of the message. Is I want to talk about the cross. There's one right behind us. You know, it's the international symbol for Christianity. I mean, it's unmistakably the symbol, the face of Christianity. I mean, you can go anywhere and you can see a cross and understand that that's some form of the Christian religion, whether it's Catholicism or denominational based or, you know, non-denominational based. It's the belief in Jesus Christ on the cross, because no other religion bases the cross as the fundamentals. And you know, even if you've seen the Christian flag, it's the white flag with the little blue and then, you know, and the cross in the middle. I mean, so it is like the symbol of Christianity. And one thing that I find that we as a Christian church do, and I speak to myself on this, and that's one of the things I was excited about, is that a lot of times we look to the cross and we stop at that. We see the cross. I think that we can all bring up in our minds, in our imagination, or just in past experience, a popular decor for the religious called the crucifix, where it's the cross and Jesus Christ on that cross hanging on a wall, you know, as some people put it above their doors as a reminder of what they've done and or of what God has done for them. And as a reminder, I think of, you know, the wooden cross, the crucifix as it's hand carved and Jesus on the cross looking down with that suffering face. And it's just a reminder of what we've done. But at the same time, I think a lot of times we as the body of Christ, we as Christians stop at the cross. We see the cross and we think, man, you know, I praise God for what Jesus did for us on that cross. And we don't ever want to take that lightly. We don't ever want to take that for granted, because that was the most awesome gift that anybody could have ever done. It was the gift that, it was the event that changed history. It was what changed how God and man lived together for eternity. But at the same time, we as Christians have to look beyond the cross. Because ultimately speaking, the cross was just the start of things. If you think about it, there are four gospels speaking of Jesus and going to the cross. And then the epistles in the New Testament speaking of life after. So tonight, what I want to talk about is a subject, and I've titled the message, After the Cross. Because what I want to do is I want to take a little scripture that I had been studying and reading about and look at some events. They're events that we all know, and when I read them, I've said this before, I've done a message like this before, when I read them and when I point them out and we go through them in scripture, you're going to say, duh, Pastor Luke, we know that. But there's a difference between hearing and understanding and actually applying it and doing something with it. Now, I have this example. In my wallet, I have a $20 bill. Now, this $20 bill can buy me lunch. It can, you know, get me a gallon of gas, whatever it may be. This $20 bill is worth 20 U.S. dollars. Duh, right? We all know that. It's just like the point. But you know what the thing about this $20 bill is, if I fold this bill up and I put it in my wallet and I tuck it away and I forget that I own it, and I go throughout the rest of my life with that $20 bill stuck in my wallet and I never pull it out and I never claim its redemptive value in my life, that $20 bill serves no purpose. Oftentimes, in our walk with God, we do that with what was happened, what we were given after the cross. We know about it, we have it, we understand the principles of it, we know the value of it, yet we never claim its value. We never do anything with it. We fold it up. We put it away and we say, yeah, I know that. I know that. That's an easy subject. That's something I understand as a Christian. Yet in our lives, we don't apply it. And tonight, I'm going to talk about four simple things. And I want you to understand that this is the beauty of this is after the cross, because the cross is where Jesus came. And God came to this earth. Man incarnate, he smelt the dust and he breathed. His first air was the stench of a manger. He lived amongst us. He felt our hurts and our pains and our physical limitations. He was tempted just like we were tempted. And then he willingly went to the cross and died for us. And on that cross, all things changed. And we as Christians are obligated to remember the gift and remember the price that was paid on the cross. But we as Christians are also obligated to understand that 3 days later, that cross, the sign of defeat, the place where Satan himself thought he had won, thought he had victory over Jesus Christ, and he had done it. He thought that he had beaten all. 3 days later, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And even past that, then he ascended. This is the important part. Not only did Jesus Christ defeat sin and death and sickness and shame on the cross and redeem us of our sins and irreconcilable differences, then after he ascended or he rose from the grave, then he ascended on high and sat at the right hand of the Father over all the sign, the throne of heaven, the place where all authority in all the universe, the final stopping place. There is no word higher, there is nothing better, there is no words beside. What comes from the throne of God is final. That's it. God said it. That settles it. So now Jesus, who came and showed defeat, seemingly defeat by being on that cross, by offering himself, was put into the ground. 3 days later he rose, but then he rose and he ascended into the heavens. And sat at the most powerful position on the most powerful seat that anybody, that anything, that anyone could comprehend, the throne in heaven. And that's tonight what I want to focus on, is that we cannot forget the power of the cross. But we are obligated to look past that and understand that as Jesus ascended onto the throne, he gave us certain things that we have got to apply to our lives and we have got to remember. Just like that $20 bill, we can say, yeah, I know that Jesus Christ ascended. I know that he rose from the dead. Praise God, we just celebrated that on Easter. And we can pack it away, stick it in our Bible, and leave it there for the weekends. Or we have a choice. We can, just like that $20 bill, we can pull it out and we can remember it. We can use it. We can buy gas. We can buy gum. We can buy groceries, candy, whatever it might be. And we can use it. So tonight, four simple, super easy things tonight. So I don't want you to shut off and when you see these and say, man, this is a simple, basic message. Because the bottom line is, like I said last time I came up here on a Wednesday night, sometimes it's the most simplest of concepts that we easily look over. You know, we're so hungry for more of God or for deeper. Or I just want to know. Knowledge. You know, this is a 21st age century or 21st century age group. You know, I mean, we all at this point, we know what a computer is. We know that we have Google. We know that you can, you know, we were just talking about this in the hospital while I was with my friend in the waiting room, the days before cell phones, when you had to, you know, you had to wait. You know, if you said you were going to meet somebody at the mall and they didn't show up, well, they didn't show up. You know, now we can, if there's a question we have, we can go right to our phones and type in a question and it pops up. We are an information age. We have knowledge, the amount of knowledge that we have in our life is far beyond what we could have ever imagined. You know, they say that there's more information, there's more technology in your cell phone than in the space shuttle that landed on the moon. So we are an information age, and we are so hungry for information sometimes that we neglect to look at the basics and apply them to our lives. Because application is where it really boils down to. On Friday night, we talked in the young adults about being doers of the word and not just hearers. And the Bible talks about that over and over and over again. Why is that? Because it's something that we, the church, have got to do. Because obviously, it's something that we, the church, have not done before. As we have heard, and then that's it. But no, we're not just to hear, we're to hear and to do. So tonight we're going to look at four super easy, simple principles of reminder of what it is that happened after the cross to where we could go and to when we can apply it to our life and move forward and not just stay at the cross, not stay at defeat in our life, but to move on past the resurrection and ultimately to the ascension and to the power. So tonight, if you've got your Bibles with you, turn to the book of Colossians in the second chapter. We encourage you here at The Rock to bring your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles, the verses will be up on the overhead. But ultimately, you should bring your Bible to church. If anywhere to bring your Bible, church would be the best place to bring it. Speaking of being doers of the word and not just hearers. I'm going to read verse number 11, verse number 13 on will pop up on the overhead. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse number 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Now verse number 13, this is where our text will be at it tonight. And you, being dead in your trespasses, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Tonight, I want to look at a couple of things that happened after the cross. Things that when Jesus died on the cross, from that point on, we can apply to our life, things that were given to us, gifts that were given to us, things that we can apply to our life, and not only just so that we can understand, that's not the point, it's just so that we can hear, but things that we can apply to our life, and we can live our life with the knowledge of this. We can live our life with the understanding that this is things that we don't just hear in church and leave at church, but these are things, these are principles, these are understandings, these are points that we take with us each and every day of our life. Because ultimately, it's about what we do with our life, and not how we just hear the word of God. So, you guys ready to get into the word? Speaking of the topic of after the cross, number one, we rose from the dead with him. Wait a minute, Pastor Luke. What are you talking about? That was like 2,000 years ago. Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead. Now you're saying we rose from the dead. I mean, where are we getting at here? The bottom line is, guys, as Pastor Jim shared this in the morning, we are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. Can you tell me where you see a head go without a body? Can you tell me where you see a body go without a head? The Bible tells us in Colossians, verse number 13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive, what? Together with him. Let me start off with this. Before the cross, the Bible tells us in verse 13 that we were dead in our trespasses and the uncircumcision of our flesh. Now, the circumcision is something that we think of as part of the male organ. And let me explain that to you, what that means in here. Traditionally speaking, you know, when David went up against Goliath, he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" You read that term in the Bible. What that represents is somebody who is unclean. One translation says that who we were dead in our trespasses and in our sin nature, which had not yet been removed. So what the Bible says here is we were dead in our trespasses, in our sin nature, in our lives. Naturally speaking, you and I, today and age, in this day and age, right now, even though Jesus came and died on the cross 2,000 years ago, before we accepted Jesus Christ into our heart, we were dead in our trespasses. There was nothing that we can do on our own will or ability to get us into heaven, to get us into God. The Bible tells us that our works were like filthy rags unto God. So here the Bible tells us that we are dead in our trespasses and the uncircumcision of our flesh, the uncleanliness of our natural being. And then he has made us alive together with him. So here all of a sudden we know that after the cross, Jesus Christ came and he died on that cross. And then 3 days later, he rose from the grave. When he rose from the grave, he took the church, the body of Christ, who at one point was dead in our flesh, was dead in our uncleanliness. And he rose us all together with him, connected to him, with him. Pastor Jim touched on this morning in the message that with Jesus, we are part of the body and all things are under Jesus' feet, under the body's feet. So therefore, all things are under our feet because we are connected with Jesus. So when he rose from the grave, when he conquered death, when he defeated Satan, he rose from the dead. And we, the body of Christ, you and I, in our fleshly desires, in our lusts, in our uncleanliness, in our foolish, sinful, worldly nature, because boy, don't you know that's the natural way to do it. Look at the world around us. We were dead in our trespasses and our uncleanliness. But Jesus Christ, after the cross, when he rose from the dead, he rose and we along with him. He rose and he brought us together. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians, the second chapter. Just a couple pages back. Verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. How funny is that, that we see the same exact term. We were dead in trespasses, made us alive together. Wow, that's interesting. Somewhere else in the Bible, Paul the Apostle writes pretty much the exact same thing. Here we were dead, and now we have been made alive with him. Not because of him, not through him, but with him. So when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, verse number 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whoa, now we're getting to some pretty heavy stuff right here. All of a sudden, Paul the Apostle is telling us, listen, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead 3 days after he was crucified on that cross, we, the body of Christ, rose from the dead with him. 2,000 years ago, you say, Pastor Luke, the mathematics and the time doesn't add up. The bottom line is when you were dead in your trespasses and when you were adopted into the family of God, when you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and you begin to follow after God, all of a sudden you became like Jesus, raised from the dead who were once in your trespasses. Now you are washed clean of it. You were raised and made alive. Jesus Christ says that I have come to bring life and bring it more abundant. Not just stopping there. Speaking of the ascension and where Jesus goes, he says he has made us, raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh boy, we're getting to some theologically deep principles while at the same time talking about super simple ideas. That's the Word of God. Honestly, when you think about it, it's easy. The more you get into it, then the more you have to think about it. But the bottom line is the fundamentals are easy. And here we read that Jesus Christ made us to sit together with him in heavenly places. Jesus Christ says, whatever is loosed in heaven would be loosed in earth. Whatever is bound in heaven would be bound in earth. Why is that? Because we, the body of Christ, along with Jesus, are made to sit with him in the heavenly places. Therefore, like Pastor Jim shared, if all things are under his feet, all things are under our feet. Why? Because we are now made together, rose from the dead, alive in Christ. While we are not in heaven at this point in time in our physical life, that does not mean that we cannot be sitting in the heavenly places. Jesus Christ tells us that we are not of this world. Why is that? Because now we were rose from the dead and made to sit in the heavenly places. So yes, we are here now, but we, the body of Christ, along with Jesus Christ, rose from the dead and have been made to sit together in the heavenly places. We were once dead in our trespasses, but after the cross, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and along with him, we did also. Praise God. Secondly, tonight, we're talking about after the cross. We were forgiven of our sins. Duh! Right? Don't we all understand that? We know that. We know that. We know that we've been forgiven of our sins. That's the reason that, you know, he bore our sickness and our infirmities and our shame. And he was a sacrifice for us on that cross. But yet, it's like that $20 bill. Oftentimes, we know the principle. We know that we've been forgiven of our sins, that our past is washed away. But like that $20 bill, we fold it up, we put it in our back pocket, and we forget about it. And we take ownership of what we were in the past. We take ownership of who we were in the past, in our past life. But the Bible tells us, we'll get into it in a moment, that all things are washed away and all things are new. Because Jesus Christ, on that cross, he bore our sin for us. In Colossians, verse number 13, he says, he has made us alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. We were raised from the dead in our death. We were dead by our sin. Our sin, we know that it leads to death. Sin separates us from God. So here he uses the word trespasses. And we just read that our trespasses are what made us dead. So then Jesus Christ came in the midst of our trespasses and rose us from the dead and made us alive. And not only did he take the trespasses, but he washed them clean and he forgave us of them. Guys, that is a principle that we as Christians need to grab a hold of. I can't tell you enough, especially dealing with the young adults, the generation that have grown up when society has just gone haywire and what is right is wrong and what is wrong is right. They come, they get saved. And they just can't let go of the things that they've done, the drugs that they've tried, the drinking, the alcohol, the party, the sex. But the bottom line is, the Bible tells us that when Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead, he forgave us of our sins. And the past is no longer ours to own. It is what Satan is going to come and try to throw against us, because that is his tool to try to bring us back into death and bondage. But the bottom line is that Jesus Christ bore our shame on that cross. And when he rose from the dead, he wiped it clean. And speaking of simple ideas, it's the application, the principle of that. To apply it to our life, to understand that what I have done in the past, the Bible tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of unrighteousness. So if I bring my past to God and I give it to God, like Pastor Jim shared this morning, cast your cares, give it unto God, then you know what? The Bible tells me that he is faithful and just to cleanse it, to forgive me of it. Therefore, it does not belong to me because I am no longer of that. That person, that type, that past is dead in the grave, buried. And a new person rose when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. A new person rose and was forgiven of their sins. If you have your Bibles with you, you know, obviously if you haven't gotten that yet, I would say if you have a ribbon, let's go ahead and drop that into Colossians, because we're going to keep on coming back there. But if you've got your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn with me to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. In the book of Hebrews, in the 10th chapter. If you have a Thomas Nelson, New King James Bible, the verse that we're going to read has a black star next to it. That means that it was prophecy fulfilled, come true, done, sealed, signed, delivered. Hebrews
The 10th chapter, verse number 16 says, "This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." And then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." The black star, prophecy fulfilled. He says, listen, I have rose from the dead. I have ascended on high. Therefore, I will put my laws, the laws of love, the laws of Christianity, into their hearts, and their sins I will remember no more. When Jesus Christ died on that cross and he rose from the dead, after the cross, our sins were forgiven. Our past was wiped clean, and the Bible tells us in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, just go ahead and pop it up, that says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have what? Passed away. Remember we just talked about verse number one, or point number one. We died. Old things died. Behold, all things have become new. We rose from the dead, and when we rose, we became something different. We were no longer what we were in the past. We were no longer the drug addicts. We were no longer the losers, you know, the addicted. We were no longer the disgusted, the busted. We are now a new creation, something new, risen from God, and our past has been wiped clean. Our sins have been forgiven, and it is time for us, the church, to live like our sins have been forgiven. And to stop holding on to what the past says about you, because the Bible says that you are a new creation. Thank you for those few. I don't know about you, but I'm sure excited about being a new creation because, you know, even though I grew up in a Christian home, my parents were the pastors, I still had my past and I still experimented in my things. And I thank God that my past has been washed clean and my sins have been forgiven and I am a new creation because, you know what, the more I seek after God, the more I look back and say, thank God I'm not there. So the bottom line is, our sins have been forgiven. Number three tonight in the book of Colossians. If you turn your right back on there, it'll be up on the screens. Number three tonight. We were given access to the Father. In verse number 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements. You guys, let me explain to you what that means. In the Old Testament, before the cross, speaking of after the cross, before the cross, the man and God was about laws. God spoke to man through prophets. Man went to God through high priests. There was not a direct access to God. The high priest had to make atonement for himself before going into the presence of God to cover his sins because he was a man who was imperfect. And then he had to make atonement by a sacrifice for the sins of the people. We had handwriting of requirements against us. No matter what we could do, we were never good enough to go before God. And the Bible tells us in verse number 14 that he had wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. No matter what we could do, it was contrary to us to be like God because of our flesh nature, because of our sin, because of our trespasses and our death. And then Jesus Christ came on the cross and he nailed it to the cross, it says. And he took it out of the way. He removed the handwriting of the requirements against us and he took them and shot them out of the way and he nailed them to the cross. And after the cross, Jesus rose on high. And he assumed a role that we've read about and we've heard about as king and high priest. Now before, man could only go to God through the high priest. So there was a middleman. There was somebody and that person was imperfect in themselves. There wasn't a direct connection to God. God spoke through the prophets. You've heard of Elijah, Elisha, and all the different prophets in the Bible. God spoke through them, so it wasn't a direct connection. Now Jesus Christ comes and he says, I am the last great high priest. Rose again, seated upon the throne at the right hand of the Father. The Bible tells us, if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me really quick to the book of Hebrews. Back into Hebrews. The 10th chapter. I should have marked that side too. Now I have to turn all the way over there. If you have more than one ribbon. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Speaking of Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Verse number 16. I'm on the wrong point. Hebrews, the seventh chapter. I knew that sounded familiar. Hebrews, the seventh chapter. Sorry, guys, go back a couple of pages. Hebrews, the seventh chapter, verse number 25. Therefore, he is also to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, capital H, speaking of Jesus, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Let me stop right there and say that intercession is acting upon somebody else's behalf, mediating for somebody else. So here, speaking of Jesus Christ, rising to the throne of God, makes intercession for those who believe in God, for those who are in the family of God, those who rose again from the dead, like with Jesus, those who are adopted into Jesus, into the family of God. He says there he sits at the right hand of the Father and makes intercession for them. Now we have a high priest, not a man who's imperfect, not somebody who has to sacrifice an animal for his own sin. But now we have Jesus Christ, the one who was perfect, the one who came, the one who died for us, the one who ascended unto heaven, defeated death and hell, and he's now the ruler and high priest who sits at the right hand of the Father and makes intercession for us. Jesus stands in the gap. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, has become higher than the heavens. Who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people? Check this out. For this he did once and for all when he offered up himself. When Jesus Christ died on that cross and he rose from the dead, he gave the ultimate sacrifice. No longer was it the blood of sheep, no longer was it the blood of the firstborn, but now it was the blood of Jesus Christ that covers our sins, that stood in the gap between us and God, that covered us, the chasm between man and God. When he died and he rose from the dead, he forever changed the way man and God would live together. Before we were separate. Now, we have direct access to God through our King and High Priest who sits at the right hand of the Father, who makes intercession for us. The Bible tells us that he prays for us, that he believes for us, that he stands next to us. So now you and I can rest assured that we have direct access to God. No longer do we have to trust that God speaks to us through prophets, but now you and I have the privilege of understanding that we can talk to God and God can talk to us. Again, simple principles. But the bottom of line is that we have got to live these principles in our life. We can't just know them. We can't just speak them. We can't just hear them in church and say that's good enough. We have got to understand that now, after the cross, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he changed the way we live. He changed the way God and man are. And now we have direct access to the throne. We have direct access to the throne. The Bible tells us that we are heirs with Christ. Therefore, we can share in the victories. We can share in the triumph. We can share in all of the things that Jesus Christ came and did for us. We now know that we are heirs and joint heirs in Christ. So now, Jesus who came, he rose from the dead, and now he connected us one-on-one, you and I, directly to God. No longer were we hidden from a veil. No longer was it the Holy of Holies where no man could enter but the one high priest a year. Now we can all go before the throne room of grace, enter into the presence of the Lord just like we experienced tonight. And we can live understanding that we have direct connection to God. You may say in your life, you know, I don't feel like God has spoken to me. You have to understand that because of the cross and because of the events that took place after the cross, God can and will speak to you. He can and will impart in your life. He can and will move into your path because Jesus Christ put himself, that mediator, the intercessor between us and God. We now have somebody on our side who believes for us, all because of what happened after the cross. And finally tonight, speaking of after the cross, my favorite of all, and the confirmation of what Pastor Jim was speaking of earlier, we are assured victory. We are assured victory. In Colossians, the second chapter, verse number 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Guys, we have been assured victory in our lives. Whatever it is that we're standing for, whatever it is that we are believing for in Christ, we know that we have the victory. Here the Bible says that he has disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them.
You know what the powers of darkness and that of death that had bound us and destroyed us and brought us down? Jesus Christ says, you know what? I have disarmed them. I have removed all offense from them, and I have disarmed them and made a public spectacle of them. You know what's funny? It's back in the old days when these were written. We don't live in a time of kings and wars in the way that they fought them now. We live in the time of modern warfare and of weapons and jets and bombers. But back in the day, when two armies would go at each other, the king of the losing army was oftentimes, if he was alive, okay, because he has to be alive at the end of it, if he was alive and his side lost, that the victor would often take the king and strip him of all of his royal clothes, strip him of his robes and his crowns and his jewelry, and leave him in his undergarments, and parade him through his armies, bring them back to their hometowns and to their home kingdoms, and show everybody else, look how great we are, and that we disarm them, and they put him on parade for everybody to mock, everybody to disgrace, and everybody to spit on, and just do all sorts of things too. And Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, he did that to Satan himself, to the principalities and the darkness. Not only did he defeat them, but he put them on spectacle for us to see and us to know. And the most important part is like that $20 bill example. This, above all, is one of those ones we as Christians oftentimes fold up, put away in our Bible, and forget to live it in our lives. We read this morning with Pastor Jim that the Bible tells us that we are counted like sheep for the slaughter. We are killed all the day long. You know what the interesting thing about the sheep is? The sheep is an animal, the poor sheep. Man, they got gypped. They have no natural defenses. Do they have rough or gangly fur? No, it's soft. We make clothing out of them. They have flat, dull teeth. They're a herd animal, but when danger comes, do they surround their livestock and their young? No, they scatter. If you've ever seen sheep, they're not very smart. So here we read that the devil, the enemy, the principalities of darkness that we just saw count us as sheep to the slaughter. But then we read, and in Romans, the 8th chapter, that we are what? More than conquerors. Satan is going to use the trickery, the deceit, the fact that we take that $20 bill, we take the principle that we have already been given the victory, fold it up and forget it. He's going to use that against us and try to deceive us because he thinks that we are sheep. But let me tell you, church, we are not sheep. We are more than conquerors. We have already been given the victory. We can stand assured that the trials of the enemy have no ground because they have been defeated. In John, the 16th chapter, I'll just put it up on the overhead. Jesus speaking says, these things I have spoken to you, in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. Yes, we can live in the world and have tribulation. That's the very concept right there. We can understand that Jesus Christ defeated the enemy. He put him on public spectacle. When Satan thought he won on, when Jesus was on the cross, 3 days later when he rose from the dead, he defeated, he took the keys of hell and sin and death and took them with him. All of a sudden we see that he put public spectacle, but Satan relies on the fact that we in this world would understand that we don't get that. We don't apply it to our lives. We don't live our lives with that understanding that we have already won. And in doing so, we live in the world. And in the world, we will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, he says. Why? Because he has overcome the world. And in closing, a verse that I love to live by, one that I tell the young adults all the time, in Luke, the 10th chapter, verse number 19, let's just go and put that one up. Behold, Jesus says, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You know what? I love that word, authority. You know what authority is? Authority is delegated power. Jesus says, I have delegated power to you. That you can trample over snakes and scorpions, the powers of the darkness, the things of this world. You know what authority is? The delegation of power is? Let's look at it. On Sunday mornings when the San Bernardino police help escort us out of the parking lot, they have delegated power. When they put their arm up and tell you to stop, you stop. Hopefully.
Do they have the physical ability to stop the car from moving? If it was to keep driving in their arm, would it stop them? No. But they have been delegated power. And through that, our recognition of their power, they put their hand up and we stop. Jesus says, just like that principle, I have delegated to you, the church, the power to put your hand up and say, stop. To put your hand up against to sickness, infirmity, death, depression, brokenness, disgustedness, whatever it might be. Jesus says, I have delegated the authority and the power to you so that you can put your hand up to the things of the enemy, to the things of this world and say, stop, because you have been defeated. We, the church, have got to live in the principles and understand that we have been assured the victory through Jesus Christ raising from the dead. Can you imagine the disciples? And if they could look back now and see the impact that that event had. Here, they're going about their business, not quite understanding. And all of a sudden, their leader is sent to the cross and dies. One of their own commits suicide. Another one rejects him and denies him 3 times. Could you imagine that 3 days? What do we do? What, now what? That thought of, oh my goodness, now what? We, as the church, often dwell in that period of 3 days, now what? One of our own has fallen, one of us has denied him, and we don't get out of that. But then on the 3rd day, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he showed himself to them. And then he ascended unto heaven after the cross. Guys, we as the church have got to understand that we have got to live this. Not just understand this, not just hear it, not just read it on a Sunday night or on a Sunday morning, but we have got to apply this to our life because you know what? The bottom line is stuff is going to happen. The enemy's going to come and he's going to try to take from you. He's going to try to take your sickness. He's going to try to take your health. He's going to try to take your finances. He's going to try to take your family, your well-being. But no. Jesus Christ has defeated the powers of the darkness and stripped them of all of their royalty, stripped them of their awe, and have paraded them in their underwear so that we can see them. Tonight, looking back, moving beyond the cross, we have got to understand that we rose from the dead with Jesus. We were forgiven of our sins. We have been given direct access to God, and we were assured the victory. Did you guys get something out of that tonight?